And welcome back.
We recording?
Cinema Vino. Yes, we are.
We are live.
This is our second installment in our time travel series. So we are looking at The Terminator, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And Todd Wofford.
Todd Wofford. Travis Budd.
You were in the movie?
Yeah. Sean Jordan's back with us.
Hey.
And Taylor Owens.
Hey. T.O.
Yeah. this is part two.
Terrell Owens?
Exactly.
Terrell.
Get your popcorn ready. And so we are going to look at James Cameron's first big film that he ever did. It's very interesting. This was...
Was this his first big film?
First big film.
Yeah.
I believe he did a horror movie before this.
Yeah, it was something...
Piranha, like...
Piranha 2.
Yeah, I think it was Piranha 2, like The Spawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was... Then this led him into his Aliens and Abyss. Yeah.
Yeah.
Alien. Who did The Thing?
John Carpenter.
Carpenter, you're right.
Ridley Scott did the original Aliens, or Alien.
Yeah.
James Cameron.
Cameron did Aliens.
Aliens, plural. So, before we start out with our wine, we are drinking a rosé. As I said during our Thor podcast, it is 100 plus degrees outside. Could not bring myself to do any sort of red wine. Everything we're going to drink for the next few installments is going to be stuff that we can drink chilled.
Good old triple digits.
This is the Girasole Rosé out of Mendocino County. This is a 2021. This is a fresh rosé. So it's a refreshing, easy drinking, kind of light. Light pink in color. I mean, it's not a particularly dark, heavy rosé.
it's pinky.
Well, some of these glasses are kind of iridescent, so it makes it pinker than it should be.
Yeah.
You're a fucking descent.
But yeah, I think it's a great little wine. I mean, it's under $20. I think it's $18, something like that.
Travis, do you want the bottle? Oh, you're just moving. Okay.
Classic California. I mean, it's off dry kind of tasting to me. It's not bone dry, but it's pretty dry.
Oh, yeah. What is our alcohol content?
Alcohol content, we are going to clock in at 13%.
13.
Pretty typical of a rosé, I think. You're going to find most of them 12.5% to 13.5%, somewhere in that range. But yeah, hot weather, it's perfect.
Hey, it's certified organic too, Trav.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
How many sulfites are in that?
It just says contains sulfites.
Probably a little six amount.
Yeah, so it's
six,
not,
six
none,
sulfites.
None are added. Yeah. It's just contains sulfites.
Gotcha.
It's very difficult to make a wine that contains no sulfites. I won't say it's impossible because there's a couple wineries that claim that they are sulfite-free.
And they usually taste like butthole?
Yeah, they taste like fried butthole. Yeah. So I've never had a wine that is supposedly sulfite-free.
So are we actually just enjoying sulfites? Is that the only thing we like about wine?
Well, sulfites are a byproduct of fermentation.
Naturally
they're a chemical that's created when the wine is fermented. And so,
well, to fully remove them, you have to pour the entire wine through a sandy, loamy foam.
Yeah.
And then to remove those.
Exactly.
And then you just, whatever you are drinking.
Loamy is an underused adjective.
Especially because it rhymes with blow me.
Todd,
you've ruined my rap lyrics.
I have to beep that out.
And as we've said before, you could do this with burgers. You could do this with
pizza.
Pizza. You could do it with fried food or any kind of fried food.
A good glizzy.
A good
what? A glizzy.
A glizzy.
Is that a porn term?
Is that an Australian food?
Oh, man, it's slang for hot dog, but also penis.
I just had a good glizzy, mate.
It's a chazzy wazzle.
Never heard about a glizzy?
I think you made that up.
Yeah.
I think you made that up.
Actually, I've never been a scout, but I'm giving the three fingers up. That's an official thing.
That's what they did on prom night.
That's what the kids are doing these days, are glizzies.
Three glizzies?
How many glizzies could you do? I bet you could do a bunch of glizzies.
You're telling me that Joey Chestnut just downed 73 glizzies?
Yes.
On 4th of July?
Exactly. You were using it correctly.
Thank you.
That's a glizzy word.
Merriam-Webster needs to call you. They need to use that sentence.
Joey Chestnut just ate the most glizzies.
Mm-hmm.
what the hell?
Todd definitely could take a glizzy.
You know who Joey Chestnut is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just want to know.
He's an athlete.
Are you just looking up hot dog slangs? I mean, how do you...
Taylor, Yes, you look up hot dogs and then you look up synonyms.
Hot dog knowledge is like 90% of Travis's life. Yeah.
Well, okay. Honestly, it was an accident. I was Googling wieners and that's not what I was looking for, but
glizzy, that's a new one. Oh man.
I clicked glizzy and it was not what I thought.
Mm-hmm. But you're not disappointed.
Travis, I swear to God, if I Google glizzy and it is just some...
Taylor, are we doing this in real time? We don't have time. We got to talk about a film.
This the people be a master need to class in trolling right now.
God damn it.
So the Terminator.
What is it?
Well, apparently, you know, glizzy just means hot dog. As in literal, actual hot dogs. So I guess because of the how did the common hot dog become known as a glizzy? Apparently the term I can't say the word right now.
Originated.
Thank you. In DC, Maryland, and Virginia.
Of course it did.
Also known as DMV. I didn't know that was a thing. We're just too many things.
It's like a tri-state area.
So we're just like, hey. Yeah,
I don't know what the etymology of that is. I think it's, they just have some, like a sound pony, just rolling on a rack, just warming or in a QT, and it's glistening, and it looks glizzy.
Give me one of them glizzies.
Yeah. A glistening glizzy.
And Travis just said etymology, so there we are.
Okay.
Not to be confused with
how many Taylor glizzies can't say could originator. Yeah. How many glizzies could Terminator take?
Does he need to eat?
Well, the question is, how many could he take?
Like,
now?
how vacant are his bowels?
To get to Sarah Connor, he has to win a hot dog eating contest.
Hey, buddy, you can't do that. Wrong.
These glizzies have gone bad.
So, Arnold.
So, yeah. The Terminator, the Governator. This movie debuted October 26, 1984. Directed by James Cameron. Co-written by James Cameron and his future wife, Gail Ann Hurd. Incidentally, James Cameron has a habit of getting married to women he works with. He also later married Linda Hamilton.
I was going to say, he also has a habit of divorcing the women he works with.
Yes.
He seems like a nice guy.
Isn't he the guy that said something like, I can't help it if I'm attracted to powerful women? Or like strong women. That was his quote. Just like, no, maybe you're just a dick.
Said no humble man ever. This includes Linda Hamilton, T2, and Susie Amos, who was the granddaughter on Titanic. He also married her. So... Incidentally, that new Avatar trailer looks dreadful, I think. It looks like fried booty.
And so that was in the beginning of Thor, and I had not seen a trailer for it. I seen a teaser. Mm. Yeah. I'm going to go see it because...
Yeah, especially in theaters.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it, but I'm already sad about it.
But so Taylor and we on purpose went to go see the Love and Thunder late to try and get past all the trailers because... You're just going to see the trailer on YouTube anyway. But of course, we still saw Nicole Kidman welcoming everybody back. Mm-hmm.
Here, somehow heartbreak feels magical.
Yeah. No. No, thank you.
And I like that sound very Hobbit-like. I like that.
Thank you.
Ha, Frodo, in the Shire.
All right, so what movie did we watch again?
The Terminator.
Okay.
the film became a surprise hit. It grossed $80 million against a $6 million budget. Launched a franchise, which still continues to this day.
They're six movies deep.
For better or for worse.
Yes. The most recent film was the underrated Dark Fate, which Cameron returned to co-write and co-produce.
And Tim Miller directed, the guy that directed the first Deadpool.
Yes. This film greatly elevated the career of Schwarzenegger, proving his range by casting him as an ominous villain.
Didn't really prove his range.
No, he didn't do shit.
Well, yeah, so, you contrast this with Conan the Barbarian.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it shows he could play
Arnold,
completely different.
We want you to not have any personality. Go.
Range is a relative term, of course. Yeah. You know, it's not like Anthony Hopkins or Richard Burton or somebody that's incredible Shakespearean range. It's he can either play a big muscly
Hercules,
ancient warrior,
or he can play a big muscular robot
or a robot
that doesn't say anything.
Yeah. the plot for the few people out there who probably haven't seen this movie, don't think about it. In the distant, quote unquote, future, now 7 years in the future of 2029, AI machines attempt to wipe out humanity, but a freedom fighter, John Connor, leads humans into a stout resistance and they slowly gain the upper hand. As they're about to be defeated, the machines activate a time portal and send a cyborg in the form of Arnold Schwarzenegger back to 1984, where he can kill Sarah Connor, John's mother, ensuring that the future leader will never be born and humanity will be eliminated.
Taylor tried to grab my beans while you were talking.
I guess I can't stretch. I mean, I guess that's illegal in this house. I didn't know that. Anyway.
I mean, these buttons are straining anyway, so that's 50-50. We'll take the blame.
The resistance, the human resistance, gets wind of the cyborg, and they send back a man named Kyle Reese, a soldier, to protect Sarah. He's played by Michael Biehn. This kicks off a race.
Is it Biehn or Biehn?
It is Biehn, because I looked it up.
Huh. Ooh, like Sean Biehn.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
like Mr. Biehn.
Like Mr. Biehn, and that's probably no coincidence. That's probably who they based the character from.
Rowan Atkinson.
You can see the influence.
So that's basically all I got for the plot. I'm curious to see what we think of it. I'll start with Sean. What do you think?
Oh,
talk.
God, I love The Terminator. This movie is very good for when it was and what it was. It was very good. Mm-hmm. You know, you got some practical effects. You got some, I think, was it CGI? Was the animation CGI?
I don't even know what you call that.
It was traditional animation. Yeah, it was more almost claymation.
Yeah, stop motion.
Yeah, it was stop motion.
But like the practical effects of like when you could tell when they switched from like Arnold to the robot.
That was a little rough.
Which
was
a little rough. Stan Winston.
But it's very, very good. I mean, for what it was at the time, it was great. And seeing practical effects, I always love practical effects whenever I see them, even though I go, oh, that's practical effects, which kind of defeats the purpose. Mm-hmm. I loved it. It was cool. It was really cool to see. And this movie, is kind of the first of an installment for a good reason. Like, this was like a tone setter for, I think, sort of a lot of movies that come after this. Because, you know, He also went on to write Rambo, right? And he also wrote Terminator 2. And I think he wrote both of those around the same time when he was like basically trying to kill time waiting for somebody to free up. I think it was waiting for Schwarzenegger to free up to film this again, to film T2. But like you can see like the influence that this movie has on all action movies going forward in the 80s. Like this was the first big one. Like this, Predator, a lot of the horror movies that have like that first person monster vibe, like the like seeing through the eye of like the Terminator and seeing the heads up display where you see like that probably blew people's minds in the 80s.
Oh yeah.
So cool.
Still kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah.
Fuck off, asshole.
Yeah.
Which laid the groundwork for T2, which uses Arnold for a lot of humorous purposes. They mine him for a lot of cool one-liners and jokes and stuff in the second film. So.
Well, and I think this movie, they gave him like, he has 14 lines, I think, for the entire movie. Mm-hmm. And he got paid so much money for those 14 lines. But he is so badass.
Yeah, he's perfect.
Because prior to this, he was doing Conan the Barbarian, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was his like kind of breakout role as an actor. Before that, he's obviously Mr. Olympia.
I think he was like Kid Hercules in some like 70s.
Terrible shit. Hercules.
Is that the movie where he's like going to try out for like a baseball team and they're like, let's see what you can do.
I think so.
And they dub his voice with an American. So he sounds like
that,
this.
That was it. Yeah. They dubbed his voice.
And then he like does like the jump and they're just like, oh, that's the longest jump I've ever seen.
Do the same thing for Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
He's been Hercules as well. They did the same damn thing.
Yeah. But like Arnold Schwarzenegger prior to this was like a really well-known bodybuilder. Like he was Mr. Olympia. Like he was the guy to model after, and the fact that he had acting aspirations, we got an entire sector of movies after this because of this movie. So I think it's really cool to see where this kind of came from and what this kicked off. But the movie itself is fine.
I mean,
the plot's pretty straightforward. As time travel plots go, it's like you do get a little bit of a grandfather paradox where it's like he comes back in time to create John Connor, who sends him back in time to create John Connor. It's like, okay.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, now Alpha and Omega. Look at that. Yeah. Friends become enemies, enemies become friends.
Mm-hmm. But it was very like abrupt sex scene.
I know. Mm-hmm. I love that sex scene where it's like, you know, the climax is just because they release their hands.
The hands just go.
Yeah, they're like, oh, and I was like, well,
guess we're all done.
I was watching it with my girlfriend and I was like, oh, P.S. That's now John Connor. And she was like, what? I was like, just follow along. And I was like, just follow along.
Keep up.
Like, get out of here.
But the police station scene, tremendous. Oh, yeah. Just like, so good. The action scene. I don't know why the Terminator felt it was necessary to do a costume change because he definitely like changed jackets. You would think the Terminator would have other things on his agenda.
Yeah, probably got a little chilly in the evening.
Why even put on sunglasses? Mm-hmm. Like,
it's for the aesthetics.
You're just going to go in and kill everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, why bother with trying to hide the fact that you're a cyborg?
I need the UV protection.
It hurts my eyes.
I've got glaucoma.
My eyes have been dilated.
So what would you say, 1 to 10?
I'd give this an 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
what this movie's an 8.
Mm-hmm. Travis? Yeah.
I'm going to say, as well, an 8. Yeah. I loved it.
Fuck, that's what I was going to say, but I'm...
fuck you guys, I got to it first.
No, it's good to me. Like, it's been a while since I had seen the first one, and before this, I only got about an hour in, but I've seen it so many times before, but it had been a while. I forgot how well they did with, like, obviously you have a lot of exposition and buildup you have to get through, and so... There's that scene with Reese in the car with Linda, Michael Biehn with Linda Hamilton, when they're hiding in the parking garage. He's like trying to get her caught up really quick, you know. It's nice when you watch a movie where the characters aren't dumb. Like, she calls her house to let her roommate know, hey, somebody's trying to gun for me. One, you know, watch out at home, but also, can you come pick me up because I can't get through?
She makes that mistake twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, did she?
She makes it. You might not have gotten to that part, but she calls her mother to tell her mom where she's hiding out. And her mother, little to her known, is actually the Terminator impersonating the voice.
Oh, yeah.
So she tells the Terminator where they're hiding out. Same mistake twice. You'd think she would learn.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell people where you are. If you're on the run, mm-hmm. don't leave a loose end.
Yeah.
But at least at the beginning, it's, you know, she's not making mistakes then. Also, the score is done by Brad Fidel, who, like, obviously it's iconic because they've used it again in Terminator 2. Obviously, they've taken out some of the synth from the 80s from it, mm-hmm. but they've kept the bones of the score, and it's like immediately recognizable to the franchise.
He did Fright Night too, did he not?
Yeah,
he
that's the other thing I was going to say is that I originally knew this guy through the movie Fright Night, and then I was like, oh shit, he did Terminator. I was like, this is probably what I should actually know him for. But I got more into like the weird synth music after Stranger Things came back out, and I was like, oh yeah, I kind of dig this shit.
I like synth.
So that's the only reason I had noticed it again, but. But yeah, this is when I was a kid, all I gave a shit about was seeing him like pop out his eyeball and having the super cool bionic eye. And then at the end being the weird, like the skeleton and all, like, I was like, oh, this is badass. But as I was watching it today, what I love about it is like the super violence, right? The Terminator has one job. It doesn't give a shit how it does it. It doesn't give a shit if it gets hurt. Or however many people it's got to like mow down out of its way. It's relentless. It's coming for you. It reminds me of the movie It Follows.
Yeah.
Because that creature in that movie has it's a one-track mind, and it's constantly coming for you and looking for you. And it knows where you are. But the Terminator, like, you can never sit still, hang out and chill, because that thing is always after you, and it's killing absolutely everybody to get in your way. It doesn't care about being subtle or stealthy, any of that shit.
Unless it needs a jacket. If it needs a jacket, it'll change.
That's true. And it can use its changed voice, all that cool shit. What I wanted as a kid, seeing all of the flashbacks to Kyle Reese in the future, fighting all that stuff. Like, Sean, like you said, I love all of the miniatures that they were using for practical effects.
Yeah, seeing like the little jets flying around. Yeah.
And the hunter-killer robot tanks flying around.
HKs.
And
then,
yes.
What's an HK?
Yeah.
And I so wanted at the time, I'm like, man, if, you know, I think I went back and finally saw that. Well, no, I guess I did see this before T2. But all I wanted, I was like, man, why don't they go back and do a movie just in the future? Like, that looks fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And they did it with Terminator Salvation. It was not nearly as cool as I thought it was going to be.
It was a letdown.
It was a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have the dark settings and, you know, the terrain and the crazy purple lasers shooting in the background. Like, that's what I wanted the whole movie to be.
Yeah.
But I love this film. I thought Arnold was fucking cool. And when I saw Terminator 2, I was like, oh my God, this is even better than the original.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is what, you know, made me an Arnold fan. And this and Predator, I'm like, oh, this guy's so fucking cool.
And this movie made me want to see T2. Like, yep. Knowing that exactly. T2 was there, I was just like,
yep.
Yeah. Now I got to watch the second one.
That's, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But this always reminded me because as a kid, like talking with your friends about these movies, you're like, oh my God, what about Arnold as the Terminator fighting the Predator? And they're doing the same thing. Whenever the Terminator's getting messed up, you're going out, you're seeing him rip off skin and then like fix his little hand.
Tuning it up.
And then as the Predator, when he's fighting all the dudes in the jungle, he gets fucked up. And you see him have to stop and like take out his alien health kit. He's like bleeding green all over the place. It's weird to say that it humanizes both characters. You see kind of the human side of the Predator and of the Terminator having to like rework themselves. Like
vulnerability.
It reminded me of Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark when he'd gotten the shit kicked out of him. And he's having the love interest, like, help him out at, you know, ice down the elbow, all that shit. Yeah. Anyway, this had a great ending. I loved it. It's good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I had seen Terminator 2, I think, maybe twice all the way through. The Terminator, I have seen 9-10 times. But never in sequence.
Yeah.
And this is one of the first times I remember in recent years watching it all the way through. And everyone said, I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
And as Sean just said, it made me be like, well, shit, now I got to watch T2. And I was watching my girlfriend and she was like, oh, this ending's kind of campy. I'm like, yeah, I get it. But you have to understand what the next movie is. She's like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. And he was like, yeah, we need to watch that. I'm like, yeah. I don't have time for that right now.
What's campy about the guy being like, he says there's a storm coming.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It was just like.
Riding into a very fake mountain.
Yeah. Very. Yeah. But it was, I love the film. And again, I hadn't seen it in a hot minute. But yeah. I kind of love those 80 films. I love the soundtrack. I loved it. I just love that little synth thing. It's like, I just love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the graphics, I was kind of there for it. I was like, man, this is done pretty well for what they were doing.
For a small budget.
Yeah. It was like,
$6 million.
Yeah. There were a few things.
How many bucks?
$6 million.
$6 million.
Damn.
Yeah. And then they said that it was like a big risk they were taking with it.
Yeah.
But I guess Cameron was just like, no, man, this is going to be it.
Yeah.
Like technically an unknown, relatively unknown actor, director. Yeah. And it was just like. I
mean, he was not a big like box office draw yet.
Yeah.
They knew of.
Yeah. But it was.
James Cameron.
Cameron. But there were a few things in this movie that I just thought were just. It was slow in some parts where I was like, you know. They had all the action, but they also had to go through what was happening, like the love interest, and like kind of go from there. I did think one was funny when the doctor was interviewing Reese. I thought it was funny. He was like, "Oh, I served from 21 to 27," and I was like, "Damn, that is not that far off." And I was like, "See, so,
yeah, that's another spot where the exposition was great, where they were
it was awesome,
actively like interrogating him."
Yeah,
and then the psychiatrist was like. Wait a minute. So you're telling me, and he.
Oh does no! Exactly. Like they gave the whole story. It was like I was like, man, they're actually doing this pretty damn well. They're
clever screenwriting.
Yeah, it's like they're explaining it kind of even along the way. So like, I mean, even if we lost our way somewhere, like they're explaining it again.
Although, and I was like, oh, if you're Reese in that situation, you can't be mad when everybody thinks you're nuts for saying that.
No. Yeah, it's like because you have to know. Yeah. What, yeah.
But yeah, they really did a good job of like not being ham-fisted with the exposition. Yeah. They just kind of like weave it in.
That's a rare trait,
all throughout.
Especially for sci-fi and action movies.
Time travel movie.
Obviously, we know, having seen this before, but at the time, when you go to see the Terminator, you're like, wait a minute. Is it this big dude Arnold or is it this other homeless-looking dude? Like, we don't know. I remember a meme being like, so... Sarah Connor really just fell in love with a dude wearing like homeless piss pants.
Yeah.
They can't smell great.
Well, the hit on where she's in the hotel room and she just goes up to him and she just goes, What are women like in the future?
Oh yeah.
He's like, he's just like, what? She's like, is there someone special?
He knew.
And then he was like,
we're boning.
Oh, we're on.
Like, they're good fighters.
Yeah. Like, great response.
Yeah. The only two takeaways from this film that I had seen it even before we watched this film, or you were kind of, we were talking about reviewing it. I guess it was like in the phone booth scene real early on, you know, Arnold throws that dude out and he was like, you got anger issues or whatever he says to him. You got a lot of anger, man. But I guess when he's looking through to find Sarah Connor, I had seen this as like a, I don't know why it would be an Easter egg or a, you know, whatever, but his left hand is already pointing to John Connor's. And but it has been, he, and his right hand is pointing to Sarah Connor. I was like, well, why would that even matter? Because if he already knows that John Connor is technically dead in the future, or we have to go and kill this guy, why would he be pointing to John Connor's anyway? Unless he's trying to follow through. But
on the telephone book,
I went back and looked. I'm like, damn, that is true. He actually is doing that.
But also, why does he have to use his finger to go down the names? Isn't he a fucking robot with scanning eyes?
Yeah,
for the audience.
Yeah.
But the other thing I thought of is like. Well, I told it to Travis earlier. It's like when everything was said and done after watching that film, I go, man, a film that I really just was like enamored with and that I really enjoyed in like 1999 was The Matrix. And I'm like, did The Matrix just rip off Terminator? Uh-huh. It was like, did The Matrix just flat out go, we're just going to tweak this just a scoochy poo? And they're like, I mean, revolutionized with all their camera and everything. But the storyline, I'm like, this is Terminator. And I was like, I didn't realize that really until today. Yeah. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
So, you know, I just remembered. So like Sean said, the Terminator, you see his heads up display all, you know, sees everything in red and it scans. But it also is this, I think that's one of the first times you see from the point of like the antagonist, but you see that they have like a weird different vision rather than just be like a slasher film, like, slowly.
They actually do that in Friday the 13th.
But does he have a weird different vision? Does it like black and white or
no,
something?
No, because it's the mom.
Or
it's,
is it? Yeah, I mean, just kind of normal. For lack of a better word, it's like you see from his point of view, but it's monstrous in some way. It's not normal.
Yeah.
Same thing in Predator. They show you how he sees his victims with the weird like vision. So at least for me, obviously Arnold, but like I see a lot of parallels between this and Predator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you couldn't have had Predator without Terminator. I think that was...
Yeah.
It definitely paved the way.
Well, yeah, because it built up Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Tay, you got...
Oh, no. Oh, I'm done. Yeah, I was like,
Eight out of ten?
Yeah, I would say 8 out of 10 for sure.
Would we say Terminator 2 is definitely better?
No.
What do you think?
For me, I have this innovative film loaded with expert miniature and stop-motion special effects. Trend-setting, and it's loaded with directorial swagger from James Cameron. I think he brings a lot of cockiness to his films.
Swagger's a good term.
And, yeah, it's like it kind of enlivens it. It's like you know he just thinks a lot of himself, but it comes across in the craft of his movies. He's a rare example of a director. You give him more money and more clout, and he makes stronger movies. You know, it's like
he's up his own ass, and we're right there with him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you give him a bigger budget, you get Aliens. You give him a bigger budget, you get The Abyss. You give him a bigger budget, you get T2. You know, it's like you keep scaling upward with him. That's rare for a director. See also Waititi, Taika, you know. It's like sometimes that can go downhill pretty quick. This film's an enduring classic. 8 out of 10 for me. Debate rages amongst a lot of people I've known about what's better, this or T2. Is T2 better than the first one? T2 is a classic example of a lot of people's side of a sequel improving on the original. I would say that T2 is the better film. It leverages a bigger budget and more studio backing to deliver on the promise that this film wants to deliver. You get bigger action, bigger special effects, more exposition, more of the lore of the story, broader performances, better everything, better production values, better makeup effects, better stunts. It takes everything. It's The Empire Strikes Back. It takes everything that you like about the first movie and builds on it.
Enhance.
Yes. So, T2 might be a 9.5 for me.
I got to rewatch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But part of me wishes we had done T2 for the pod.
I had to figure out, I was like, wait, which one are we talking about? Is it T1, T2?
And we could do another great series on sequels, especially ones that we think are better than the original.
Yeah. So would you give the first Terminator an 8?
8.
Like we did? And then the second one a 9 or a 9.5, you said?
Mm-hmm. It's damn
good. I think 10. I would too. And like, I mean, because I remember loving that film. Yeah. I just need to rewatch it.
I did see it a ridiculous number of times as a kid. So I would say it's better, but 8.5 or maybe 9?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I'll give it a solid 9.
Yeah. Pretty good all around. And yeah, we can definitely go back and do. I mean, the list of sequels that improve on the original is a short it's list very of short movies. List.
Yeah.
T2,
Empire Godfather Strikes 2, Back.
Empire Strikes Back. I would say X2.
What was the second one you said?
Godfather 2.
Oh, Godfather. Yeah.
I mean, there's a few.
I'm sure we could think of one if we saved it for a whole other season.
Avatar 2.
We don't know yet.
The Way of Water.
The Way of Water.
Yeah.
Unobtainium.
Jesus Christ.
Wayne's World 2.
Bill Ace, and Ted,
Ace, Bogus Ace Ventura 2.
I did enjoy Bogus Journey as much as the first one. It's so weird and off the wall. I enjoyed it.
Oh, Blade 2.
Blade 2 is good. I think.
I don't know if it's better than the original, but it
is. Hellboy 2?
Oh, and ooh, Hellboy 2. Yeah. Again, I don't know if either one of those two films are better than the original, but they are just
they
as good.
They didn't suck. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't drag it down.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to our sequels season for more exposition
on
sequels.
Well, last summer, we did a whole series on movie sequels, and they're all pretty good.
And those are both Del Toro's sequel. How many sequels has Del Toro done? Though?
Not a lot. I think
not
that's
much.
The only
I think
one.
That's about it.
But both of those were solid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I can't think of anything else that's genuinely like that beats the original like those movies do, where it's like not just good, but masterpieces.
For me, Two Towers.
Yeah, that's. Ooh. Would you view that as a traditional sequel? Or
yeah,
is that,
that's just part of a trilogy.
Especially a pre-planned trilogy.
Yeah. It is a pre-planned trilogy, but I mean, was Star Wars? Star Wars wasn't really that pre-planned.
I don't think it was.
Mm-mm, no. But, I mean, because it's like if you're making that movie, Star Wars came so close to being canceled or shut down altogether because of the problems they had behind the scenes that there was never any guarantee that it was going to be released.
Right.
The first screening of that movie was an absolute disaster when George Lucas screened that for his director buddies. So it ironically came down to his wife at the time, Marsha Lucas. She was one of the editors of the movie, and she helped with some of the other people reassemble it and into a more exciting movie. So they say a lot of Star Wars' success is due to his ex-wife, now ex-wife. Hmm. But no, there was no guarantee that there would ever be an Empire Strikes Back. I think he wanted it, but it was definitely not set in stone at all. So, but that's a discussion for another time.
Yep.
There's been another episode of Cinema Vino.
It has. You know what? It has.
And
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. It has not.
Devil's advocate. I like it. And yeah. We got Sean George, Travis Budd,
hey.
Taylor Owens, a little bit of everybody.
We'll be back. Bill Paxton was in this.
He was, briefly. But we're going to do something completely different, Monty Python style. We're going to Hot Tub Time Machine next. I'm sure we'll have some strong thoughts. I know I did watching it.
Strong thoughts for sure.
Yeah.
Prefer to just be in a hot tub, honestly.
Yeah. And I know the three guys I'd want to be with in boiling water. And Chernobyl.
Honestly, if it weren't triple digits outside, we'd find a way to record this in a hot tub.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the risk of electric shock is there, but, you know, that's how I'd want to go out.
That's how we time travel.
Yeah.
No risk it, no biscuit.
If you've got full bubbles in a hot tub, like, I can't, like, try to push it enough to play a little periscope depth. And I'll let you guys look that up yourself at home.
Grizzly periscope death.
Yeah.
Death? What did I say?
Depth.
It probably is periscope death.
Yeah.
What was it? Grizzly? Glizzly.
Glizzly.
Glizzy.
Glizzy Adams didn't have a beard.
Glizzy Adams needs to be a thing of it.
Glizzy Adams has a beard made out of hot dogs.
Don't look up Glizzy Adams.
Yeah.
Glizzy Adams sounds like a porn star. Like Glizzy Adams.
Of course I know him.
Yeah.
He's me.
Yeah. Oh, Glizzy.
That's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Glizzy Adams did have a beard.
Don't look up Wiener Beard either, whatever you do.
Well, now I'm actually intrigued. Now I would like to look. I'm going to look that up.
Don't threaten me with a good
wrap
time.
Wrap it up. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. Bye, guys.
Glizzy. Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our website is cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.
Here, somehow heartbreak feels magical.